Well, welcome to Prayer of Faith, the last Sunday service of 2020. Yeah, amen. Let's kick this one out of here. I can remember starting our series in 2020 and talking about different battles that we go through and preparing us. And I remember saying how interesting that it's 2020 and I feel God wants us to refocus. Anyone connect to that? In 2020, we've got to refocus and we have to examine what is important to us and what are we spending our time and our money and our talents doing. And I remember talking about battles that we face as a large group, as a smaller group, and as individuals. And we have to be prepared for those different battles. And we have to know our place and we have to know, will we be standing there in battle by ourselves? Oh no, they need help. Is that my battle to get involved in? Oh goodness, there's a bigger thing going on, and it's the enemy. Do we all need to gather together and all the churches come together and battle that enemy as a large group? Man, 2020 is gone. And I just want to ask, what did you do with it? What did you do with it? Somewhere around March and April, it changed dramatically. And what have you done since that time? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. By the way, Jan, who knew that you would have a testimony that would speak on things that I'll be speaking about today? And I understand that the guys that went through the fiery furnace are not found in Jonah, but we'll get to that after this. Man, Christmas time, a few marriage proposals out there. Who got engaged? You'll have to ask around and find out. But there were a couple different marriage proposals in the church body. So, hey, just get to know one another and talk to them and find out who got engaged, okay? This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Thank you very much. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. As a church body, as a body of believers, we will rejoice in that. And when we wake up in the morning and face whatever He has given us to face, we will rejoice in that. I want us to see in 2020 how we responded to things. So we're going to look at two stories. And on our candlelight service Christmas Eve, I talked about two things I wanted to do. I just wanted to read the story of how Jesus came into the world in a manger and the unexpected way we received our Savior. And then tie that in with the unexpected things that have happened in this last year. And I mentioned we have lost loved ones. We have gained new loved ones. And the unexpected things come. And we have to be prepared and we have to know where our rock is and who our rock is. By the way, for those that got engaged over the little holiday we just had, let me just throw this out there. They may or may not be here in person today. They may be watching on Facebook and they may still be asleep. I don't know. But let me just throw this out there. I heard something the other day and it really rang true to me. And yes, I heard it on a Hallmark movie, but I loved it. I'm pretty sure it was Hallmark. That's all I watch. But they said, it's not about finding the perfect mate. It is about finding two imperfect people that do not give up on one another. And I'm telling you, I have thought about that for the last couple days. And I thought, that is where we are. God says, I'm looking for imperfect people that will not give up on me because I will not give up on you. And it's the same in marriage. So it's difficult for us to take a deep dive and a close look. My point to the Christmas Eve thing was saying 2020 has been a lot of unexpected events. We didn't plan for this to happen, God. If you loved us, oh Lordy, there we are in that thing again. If you love us, God, why would you put us through this? But it's difficult for us to take a close look at ourselves. And it's difficult for us to say, how did we respond to the things you have given us, God? especially as it pertains to the spiritual aspect of our lives. We don't like light shining in our dark little secret areas. We don't like God to shine His light and reveal those truths to us, and we sure don't want those truths to be revealed to others that may know us. And we don't want to see it or admit it. God already knows, by the way. Okay? He sent His Son that we may have light. Our Advent reading Christmas Eve was John 1, 4, and 5. And it says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." We had the gift of our Savior, and we didn't know what in the world to do with it. He sent the light to shine the way for us, and we didn't comprehend it, we didn't understand it, and we still went around in the dark bumping into things, mowing things over, because we didn't want to see things through the light. John 3, 19 through 21, I read that the week before in our Advent reading. By the way, I left this stuff up because I love it, and I want to finish out the year with this beautiful stuff. And I just think it's pretty, okay? Does it have a Christian meaning? Who knows? Who cares? People can say it does and doesn't, but I just think it's pretty. So I love this stuff. And these are our reminders for one more week before we pack them up and forget them for the rest of the year, that He has come that we may have hope, peace, joy, and love. And who did He send that we may have that? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In John 3, 19 through 21 said, "The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But," listen to this, church, "we have hope. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." Oh, I love that. We better get into the scripture before I get distracted on the light. What that does. So Jonah chapter 1. Jonah's in the Old Testament near the end. And Jonah chapter 1. We won't read everything through here, but a couple key verses. So 1 through 3 says this. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a trip going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Does any of that sound familiar? The Lord has called me to serve. He said, "Adam, come serve over here." And I said, "Thank you so much for the word." And I headed the opposite direction. Has that happened to you in 2021? Here's what I'm calling you to do. You see, I've got a problem, and I need your help solving it. By the way, you may or may not have caught that. So he paid the fare. He paid to go away from the presence of the Lord. Now, many of us pay in different ways to get away from the presence of the Lord. We can look around today and say, many people have gotten away from the presence of the Lord. I get certain concerns. However, those concerns tend to be self-serving most of the time and for most people. That means that you don't have a problem going into public when it serves your need. Food, I must eat in a restaurant. Food, I must go shopping. Gifts for Christmas, I must go Christmas shopping. Those things serve your needs, so there's no fear of being in public then. But there's some fear about coming in this. We have a large facility here. You can sit way down front here and you'll be 30 feet from the closest person. There's lots of room here. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them from the presence of the Lord. What price have you paid getting away from the presence of the Lord? That was his action, to run away and stay away from God, and he paid a price to do it. Now we go down further, and it says in verse 12, they're having some problems, and I won't read the whole story because I've got to do a couple stories to compare the two. there's a storm at sea, and they want to know what's happening and who caused this storm at sea. And in verse 12 of chapter 1 in Jonah, it says, "He said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me.'" At least Jonah had acknowledgement that it was his fault. The Lord's mad at me. I ran away from him. This is his punishment on me. Verse 17. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." So his action was, let me flee from the presence of the Lord. His acknowledgement said, "God, I messed up. Fellows, I messed up. Throw me overboard so that your ship can be calm in the waters now." And God's punishment was, "I'm sending this gigantic fish, and he's going to eat you. He's going to swallow you." I better not say eat. He swallowed you. "And you're going to hang out in his belly for 3 days and three nights." But as Christians, we often forget that thing in verse 12. I've made a mistake. I was disobedient. I was rebellious. I just was lazy, Lord. And I didn't want to be in your presence. And I didn't want to serve you. And I didn't want to answer your call in my life. And we tend to forget that acknowledgement of our sin and our disobedience. Why? The light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. We love the darkness. We like hanging out in there. There's no light there. Man, I've got all these secrets. Nobody knows this. I could stand up here and do this. And I tell you guys time and time again, I'm the same imperfect person at work and at home and at church. That means I get angry. I goof around. I have fun. I've got points of laziness. I have points that I overwork. My wife's not here to defend that. That says I may not overwork at home, but other places I do. But I'm the same in those different places. And I'm the same imperfect person in those places. Those that have been in those areas of my life know that. But men like the darkness. And they like hanging out in there. Now chapter 2 begins, and I won't read this, but Jonah's prayer. That tends to follow our disobedience or our rebellion or our fleeing from God. "Lord, you struck me down. Let me bow down before you now that I'm in trouble. Now that you've caused this sickness, this illness, this disease, this loss of job, this financial issue, this relationship issue. Lord, now I'm in trouble because I followed my own heart. Lord, could you help me out of this mess I've created for myself?" And Jonah goes into this prayer. Please, sometimes I put prayer or plea because usually I think when we do that, we're not just praying, but we're pleading with God. "Please, Lord, get me out of this mess." Now, the Bible, as I was studying for this, the Bible reveals several different things throughout its word. And it says, even when men plan things for evil, God says, "Yeah, you planned it for evil, but I can still make good out of that. Oh, and by the way, that was an evil act, but I can still make good out of this." Those of you that weren't here Christmas Eve, I talked about, it doesn't matter how you came into this world. It doesn't matter who your parents were. And I've had people blame situations on their life. Jesus Christ was born in a manger. He did not come into this great castle and this great amount of money. And people said, "Man, the Savior of the world was born in a manger. Wait, the carpenter's son? Oh my goodness, he's riding in on a donkey?" We are children of God. And as Christians, we have to know that truth almost above anything else. We are children of God. He ordained us. He planned us before we were in our mother's womb. He can take whatever we do, whatever mess ups we do, and he can work it for his good, if we allow it. He can still do it if we don't, but it's so much easier and smoother when we allow him to work in our lives. So chapter 2, Jonah begins with a prayer and a plea. And in verse 10, so the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Chapter 2, verse 10 of Jonah, God responded to Jonah's prayer and vomited him out onto dry land. God always responds to our prayer. Now, it's not always the answer we want, maybe not the manner in which we want it. Lord, free me from this. Okay, he vomited him out. I can't imagine it was just Jonah that popped out. But he vomited him out. He answered his prayer and his plea. Now, chapter 3, Jonah becomes obedient. Jonah goes into Nineveh. He finally responds to the Lord's call and says, okay, I'll go there. And he's preaching to the people. And it says in chapter 3, verse 3, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent, and Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. And then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now this causes concern of the people in the town. And God says, man, I can have mercy on them. I can have pity on them. In chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, listen to what he says after Jonah goes and preaches. He says, but the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in night and perished in a night. Verse 11. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock. What does that mean? God says, I can have mercy on you. I can extend my grace to you. So what do we need to do? We have to learn to recognize and discern God's grace and mercy in our lives. We have to do that. It's all around us and we just don't see it so many times. And then we have to be grateful for that. Lord, thank you for that blessing. Is that all? God says, and that was your thanks for the grace and mercy I extended to you? Was that all? Pastor Eric, I remember doing a message about talking about a guy that hands someone an orange. You know, I need some food. Oh, here's an orange. Can you peel it for me? Oh, goodness. You know, how much do you want? I'm sure next would be, and now can you feed it to me as I lay here? And drop it in there. We have to learn to recognize and discern God's grace and mercy in our lives and be grateful for that. Now turn back several pages to Daniel. We're going to go backwards in the Old Testament, just a couple books back. Go to the book of Daniel chapter 3. Jan gave you a little preemptive strike into these three young men. But God knew what we were going to talk about. I love that. I looked at Kish and said, that's what I'm preaching on. Now, she didn't go deep enough that I had to cut her off and say, oh, you're taking my message now. I've got nothing to preach on. But in Daniel chapter 3, there's a lot going on in the book of Daniel. And I just want to get to a couple things. We'll start in chapter 3, verse 8 through 18. It says, therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Man. So verse 12 says, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. These young men said, I understand that decree, but I'm not going to bow down to that. Then Nebuchadnezzar in verse 13, in rage and fury, he's upset. I've given a decree. I've told them what they must do, and they didn't do it. So he gave the command to bring these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king, and he spoke, saying to them, is it true? Is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music, and if you're prepared and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Of course, little did he know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If it is true, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Now, I love that. They set the standard and they said, even if our God doesn't save us, know that we're still not serving your God. And I think that's important. A lot of times as Christians, we may say, oh, no. My God will do this for me. Okay, but what's your answer if he does not do that for you? Do you still serve him or do you give up on him? It's so important to know as we face different trials in our lives. If God does not answer the way you want, do you still serve him or do you turn and flee from him because you feel like he has failed you? Now, verse 19 says, and Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards these three. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than they usually heated the furnace. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in the army to bind them, cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's command was so urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame and fire killed those men who took them up there. Now these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down. They were bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste, and he said, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and they said, yes, that's true, O king. But he said, look, I see four men loose, and they are walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. That's an amazing connection here, how this king who serves his God, little g, and not the God, big G. But he noticed and said, I see four men loose walking. The fourth one is like the Son of God. He had the discernment to know someone is walking with them, and I think I know who that is. And that's the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. They came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors, in other words, all the important people for the king, they gathered together and they saw these men on whose body the fire had no power. The hair on their heads was not singed, nor was their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. It's the same God in both stories. Hey, Jonah. Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The same God in both stories. In one story, the first one of Jonah, he flees the presence of the Lord. But the second group, they said, "We will serve our God and no other God. And even if our God does not save us from your hand, we will not serve your God. We will stay faithful to our God." Now, what's different in that group, in the second group? Well, let's flip back. Daniel chapter 1. Turn back there. Daniel chapter 1. And this is where it all starts. And the king brought certain foods to them. They said, "No, we can't eat that. We want just this." And they said, "Well, we've got all these delicacies in this drink." And they said, "No, we don't want that." Look in verse 8 of Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. And it says, "But Daniel and the others," which would be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And I love that. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the younger men?" And he told him, by the way, he said, "Bring in these young, good-looking, strong men." And these are the men that he brought in. Verse 11, "So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over David, and he said, 'Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you in the appearance of the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants.' So he consented with them in this matter and tested them in 10 days. Well, what do you think happened in 10 days? And it says, "At the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables." Verse 17, "As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." Now we'll skip that part and we won't talk about the dreams, but it goes down through here at the end of the days. The king interviewed them and he found these guys that served the king, they were better and brighter, more intelligent than the others. In all matters, in verse 20, "in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus." The difference was in the beginning. In the beginning, they purposed in their heart that they would serve God only. And I think we tend to waver and say, "God, I'll serve you so long as things are good, so long as it's easy." But they purposed that they would serve God and that they would not, listen to the word, defile themselves with food, with actions, with words. We have to purpose in our heart to do the same. And we have to know when we face our fiery trial, even if our God does not deliver us from the hands of the enemy, that we will not serve that enemy or any other enemy. that we will serve and be faithful to God. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the songs we sang today that speak truth about your word. We thank you for the scripture we read today, Lord. The scriptures that allow us to compare stories of those called by God, servants of God. Lord, we ask as we look back on 2020 and everything we faced, have we been faithful to you? Have we been faithful to our God? Have we been faithful to our church and to one another? God, in 2020, as we say goodbye in these last few days, we ask you just to give us renewed focus and renewed energy and strength and hope, Lord, in 2021. Lord, whatever we face, whatever things we come across, Lord, that you would prepare us now and prepare our hearts so that we can purpose in our hearts to serve you no matter the answer, no matter what you bring our way. We will serve you and be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.